All right, cool. Now we're going. Now it's recording. Hey, everybody out there in podcast land. We got the Chimichanga in the house.
What's up?
And we have the King of West Hart. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, this is so cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad that you were able to get past Troop K without getting arrested.
Dude, I came off, I was like, this is a nice town. And the minute I came off, and I was just driving fast, and it was like three of them in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they, the Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, there's nothing going on in this town.
They got nothing else to do.
Yeah, this is like one of those quiet Ukrainian towns that would have been invaded. You know what I mean? There's just nothing going on here. There's no people. It's all cows. Well, actually, when it comes to people, this was the number one growing town in Connecticut, Colchester. Ah. So technically, it's a city now, not because of how it's set up, but because of how many people are here. Like how many people moved in.
What makes you like a growing town worthy to like be on the list or whatever? That's interesting. Is
there maybe a certain amount of farms?
Yeah, it's also supposedly the largest. Well. I don't know. Somebody said this to me. I took it with a grain of salt. I almost said shit. But yeah, a grain of salt says that this is the largest square mileage town in Connecticut. But I think that's just because it's all farms and shit. You know what I mean? Salmon River. Have you ever heard of that shit? Yeah, it's a big river that has some salmon in it. It goes through
here. I haven't
even
heard of that.
Yeah, it's got a forest.
And they're the home of the Brash Podcast. Oh, my God. So it's a pretty famous town now.
Yeah, I think you're the first. This is the first time I've had three people on mics.
Nice.
Yeah, we have somebody on the phone. Or when Pace One was up in here, we just had him sitting in a chair. And I recorded him while he sat where Chimmy's sitting. But, yeah, this is the Brash Show. That's how we do when we do, how we do, as we do it, when we do it, and it's done. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you're not saying it all. Yeah, 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 it's the Brash Show. All right. Welcome back. We're recording this on May 10th, 2022, and I don't do live shit. I record everything, and then it goes out on the internet. And we have a small tribe, I think, of about 100 people. I don't know. I feel bad because Sophia Florence was on, and she had, like, 90 people. And then me and him just talked, and it was, like, 120. I mean, I don't know. It's all different. There's no rhyme or reason. The Pace One episode got, like, 200 people, which is, hey, that's great.
Facts.
I don't
Many
know.
Many are called, fewer chosen. This yeah. is what they say.
I don't know how. I don't really know how to promote it, though, because, like, it's not the main thing that I want to do. I just want to do music. But this is, like, an audio flyer, maybe. We could podcast Howard Stern on it, but Clock, what's going on with you, man? You got
chilling, brother.
Mad shows coming up.
Yeah, summer's looking good. It's cool. I know we're gonna be at Hog River Brewing, helping with a big charity event with Connecticut Rocks Radio on 5/21. So if you guys are listening by May 21st, we'll be over there.
Well, word. So what is Rocks Radio? Is that
So I guess their Connecticut Rocks Radio is ran by Bob DiApril, who's like a big old, like friend of the Connecticut music scene. Used to run Two Boots in the New Haven area.
Oh, okay. So he's like him and Deuce Bug probably are like that.
Oh yeah. See, I haven't. Yeah. Oh, and I haven't seen him in a long, long time. But yeah. So it should be interesting. Other than that, I got When Will I, new single out. I've got the Bat Pack going with the boys. That's what we've been calling me and Self and Tang and Hydro and just doing that.
I love Tang, bro. I got to say, I hope to get him on here soon because guy, every time he's performed in front of me, I was blown away. Like his solo work and shit. So you guys are like an official group now? Is that the thing?
So we've been having fun. We just did Trinity College with this 4-person song that we finished. And now I think we're going to push it to an EP because we did Call Me Crazy, which is out on Spotify now, is 3 of us. And we all just started hanging out and playing shows together. And then
it's you, Self, and Tang, right?
Yeah. All right. And then like Hydro is a dope promoter from the Hartford area that's just been in the mix as well. We're all in this soup. Like we're making a soup. Yeah. I have a studio like you do. I have a little studio at my house. So
okay, cool.
I'm having people come through and, you know, we're doing a record with that, which it's really fresh. It's just got a lot of different viewpoints. It's got all the different sounds on it.
I remember when the pandemic started, you were telling me like, yeah, I got a studio up in the house now. Is that what...
It's so nice. Yeah, the pandemic and like I came from the generation when I started making music. Like I came from the mixtape scene, and so
I remember
you went
that.
And you paid people $25 or something to record your song. Like, it, nobody had a studio really that was like functional in their house,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
So then, like, I was in LA 5 years ago, maybe doing the Permission to Land album with Quick and people, and these little kids would come in the studio to like play their demo or whatever they were gonna pitch, and they would just pull their laptop out and show me the beat they made, and they could record on it.
Yeah,
there's the eyeballs, and there's all these new kind of things. And I was like, wow, like, it just upaged me, because now I feel old because it has come along so fast.
You feel old. I think I'm like 6 years older than I don't know, man. Me and Pace One were here, and he was talking about how when he used to record, like back when he was like working with Eminem and stuff, he used to do like a reel to reel. And he was like, yeah, it was really hard recording. I mean, you guys got laptops now. I used to have to lug this like 50-pound like box with me everywhere. And if it screwed up, everything sounded like chipmunks or whatever. I mean, I'm not familiar with that technology, but he explained something to me like that. So
those are expensive. I think only like 8 minutes on them or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. But you could get like a really quality recording.
Yeah.
But it was some back in the day shit. So. So, yeah, let's run it back. The first time I remember hearing about you, I heard you on the radio, and they were like, psh, 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 local artist, clockwise, here he is, boo. And they played something, I don't remember what the song was, but I was like, okay, another guy. You know what I mean? I remember thinking that. And then our favorite character, Joey Bats, was like with you on the internet. This is what was weird, and this was the beginning. I'm not here to talk shit. It's just being honest. So
journalism.
Yes. There was one side of the situation where it was like, hey, I'm on the internet with this kid, and this is cool. And I'm like, okay, And then talking to him, he was like, nah, not with that. I'm like, but you're on the radio with him, didn't you guys have a song together that was getting not like heavy rotation, but something?
Yeah, no, and we still, the one Too Cool is still on Spotify, still does really well. And we had another one that, shout out to DJ City, that was cool back in the day.
Yeah. What a character though. Because for the longest time, he had me like on some anti you shit behind the scenes. Like he was just, I don't know, man. I don't mean to air it out. It is what
it is. No, it's all good. If we're going to go into it, which is, I'm here to talk about whatever needs talking about as an artist. That's what we do. But like, no, I just think, unfortunately, I just think a lot of that is I would say a misunderstanding. And I would say it's one-sided because I didn't really ever know for a long
that's
time.
The thing,
even
as
people felt this way.
No, I know.
I thought we were fighting the good fight together.
Right.
And
yeah, that's why it was disappointing to me to like, because then we did a show and you were there and everything was peace. This is Connecticut. This is the character of what Connecticut is to a T. It's like, oh, I hate that guy. I hate him. Hey, what's up, buddy? Yeah, you ready to rock? Oh, you're on in 15 minutes. And I'm like, you know, as soon as I see that from certain heads, I back off of them. So I don't know if I said the person's name out loud. I'm not going to now, but I backed off of this character.
Yeah, you already did.
I did? Joey Bats. Yeah, but I'm glad that you're doing well, man. It's been like years of you like perfecting the craft and shit. So let's go back. The first project I remember that you dropped that got like the local buzz was, it wasn't Hood Hippie.
I had an EP right before that that was all with the similar, starting out.
And it was on Dat Piff. I saw it on Dat Piff.
Oh, and the Fun Tape. Yeah, shout out.
Yo, Fun Tape, that's what it was. That was the first thing that I heard from you, the Fun Tape.
You're making my day just to that it even that you remember and it stuck with you.
Is that the name of the track?
It was the Fun Tape because it was, the acronym is Finally Understanding Nothing, meaning like life. That's what life is about, and so it's like the older you get, the less you know we know about
what
life.
Year was
so,
this? What
2011, I think that came out. Yeah, and
I feel
then
like
so,
that's late though. I feel like I heard of you before.
I had a lot of mixtapes in high school. And this was in the days of, like mixtapes were a DJ would host it. And I think a lot of the Gen Z maybe didn't even have these, but a DJ would host it and have 20 songs and it'd be a lot of freestyles and you'd catch up and coming artists. And this was also before YouTube, a lot of the time in, you know, the late 2000s, 2010s. And so it'd be like, this was a way to find rappers. And I did years and years of mixtapes and I did a lot of the big, DJ's tapes. And so that was cool. And then I finally got in, I was like, okay, you know, I really like, you know, hip hop, of course, but I also really like Sublime. I really like, this and that, indie music.
Yeah, you're kind of a fusion artist nowadays. You're not really you are a hip hop artist. I'm not trying to retract from that, but like what you are doing seems fused with other genres.
Yeah.
And now that you're with Tang and stuff, I mean, Tang is like a beast with that trumpet. Yeah. Like, I was amazed at he was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, I just wrapped my ass off. I got two different shoes on, and now I'm playing the trumpet, you know?
Man, yo, if you guys haven't seen Tang Sauce, check him out. Yeah, because he comes out, he raps, he plays trumpet, he dances, he flips on his head, he can do it all. It's insane. He sings now, too. He's been singing.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
So,
yeah. Next, he'll do magic tricks and all sorts of shit. Yeah, I remember I was at a show, and it was something, I think it was a Mike on Deck show. Remember Mike on Deck?
Of course.
And Mike on Deck was like, yeah, this kid, you got to check him out. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I was in the audience, and he started performing. It was that typical, it was the tiki stage outside at Sully's, like the outside one. No one was paying attention until like his second song. And then everybody comes up, and he's like, oh, I got you now. And then he took his shirt off, and mad girls were like, who is this guy? As soon as he did it, mad girls in the audience, like, who is he? I'm like, I don't know. He just Tang Sauce, I guess. I thought he was the coolest dude, though. I talked to him afterwards. Yeah, I haven't seen him in like 3 or 4 years now, but he's a good soul. I like
and
him.
Meanwhile, me and you just come out, we're just like ourselves. We're just like pasty and white, and we come out and go, hey, guys.
Dude, I was so
throw your hands up.
Pretty sure I saw you both perform at Sully's.
Probably.
Good shit.
Yeah. I think I had you out for a show.
Yeah, yeah dude. I always had such a good time with the Sully stuff.
Ooh, wait a minute. Now that I'm thinking of it, the very last show that I ever did at Sully's, I think you were there for a Pace One show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So,
it was
I
us. Mike Hall was there. Shout out. Yeah, and that was like the night before they closed or something.
Yeah, that was like last Sully's last show.
Yeah, right? We didn't know at the time.
No.
Very sad. That was like Hogwarts for...
Oh, it sure was.
MCs.
Hogwarts is a great way to put it. I remember, like, I got to a point where I would pull up and I wouldn't even have to, like, deal with the door. You know, they'd, give me the nod. And that was like, ooh, wow. I better bring some girls here so they can see me get the nod.
Right.
I remember. Treatment.
I got a little spoiled because it would be like, whatever's going on there. Oh, Brash is here. Come on in, man. You know?
Yo, it was awesome. But, you know, that's what the music scene used to be. It used to be human to human. It used to be personal.
Yeah.
You
know? Now it's very computerized. And right. Yo, I was just saying this. I don't fucking know what's real on the internet. I have no idea because, again, look, I'm not going to put this MC on blast, but it's a dude that's like around the way. When the mics are off, I'll tell you who it is and ask you a couple questions just because I'm curious. But this dude, he's not the worst rapper I ever heard, okay? I will tell you about the worst rapper I've ever heard because that's a hilarious story.
Oh, I want to know, too, yeah.
Well, this, I mean, I don't even remember what the worst rapper I've ever heard's name was, but this dude is okay. Just okay, though. Like, I'm not hearing anything that's amazing.
Yeah.
And the searches don't make sense. And this is somebody that I was like peripherally, oh, okay, they exist, cool, all right, doing their thing, whatever. And then I see like this post of like, yeah, massive success for me. And I'm like, what? What part of the game is this? Like, that's the only thing I was thinking to myself. Why is he... I haven't seen this person do much work. And I've been around. Dude, I've been doing shows in Connecticut. I opened up for Jurassic 5 in 2005, man. I've been around. Facts. So, like, if I don't know who you are... I used to run the cthiphop.net blog...
Shout out.
I've got, well, it's gone now.
Yeah, but, it was awesome though.
But so I thought I had a good grip on who everybody was and what they were doing, but this doesn't make any sense to me. And this is popping up more and more where it's like, oh, wow, you got like big numbers, but I don't understand why. And only on certain platforms.
Right.
YouTube, dope numbers, looking real good, looking real sparkly. Spotify, looking real good, looking real sparkly.
Yeah.
Google search. This motherfucker does not exist on the internet outside of those two things. And I don't understand. It's got to be payola, right?
Yeah, I mean, and there's always been the click farms and stuff.
Yeah.
Which you can do. But, like, I got away from all of that really early on because I started seeing that, like, then I couldn't gauge how one song was doing compared to the next.
Well, they'll also shadow ban you.
Yeah,
they'll
exactly.
They'll let you keep paying for that and be like, yeah, you're famous. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a million plays, but you're not getting the payout. I'm
leading you on.
I accidentally fell into one of those
because
I got tricked.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm a legitimate promoter and I can do this for you. And then I paid him and I'm like, wow, look at all this, but no one was talking to me. I'm like getting a ton of plays and I'm like, there should be something happening here.
And I tell you, it used to be like, when YouTube first started and the Facebook algorithms were different, Instagram algorithms were, you know, you mm-hmm. could send someone to a video and you could watch your video go up. I used to hit refresh right. and watch it go 200, 250, yep. 350, 400. Yep. And like, I remember watching it get a comma. The first video I put out that got a comma, like 1,000, whatever. I remember I was right. refreshing it to see the comma. And it would move that fast. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Everything out there is in like a absolute trash vortex. Like everything's lost at sea now.
It's just weird because you can't gauge anything. But I just talked to an A&R who looked at my numbers and he was just like, your numbers are bullshit. Mm-hmm. The only thing about it that looks good from my point of view is that like you don't have a lot of listeners, but you have listeners that listen a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's what the A&Rs actually look for. They don't look for like, oh, 10 million people check this guy out.
Yeah.
To them, that's actually not good. Because if you got 10 million people checking you out and you didn't retain
10 million one and dones.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's what they look for. If they are like, all right, well, this guy only has 300 people listening to him, but those 300 people listen to him like 12,000 times. That's what they look for. So I don't know. That's not the category I'm in. I've noticed that your Spotify is kind of low at the moment. You know what I mean? At the moment.
I think, you know, I'm not doing...
Well, you're not faking the funk.
That's the thing is my goal has changed a little bit. I will say that like my goal and my approach, and if you've watched the Clockwise page at all, has definitely changed in the last couple of years. Because I really went from trying to make like the biggest record ever and be some kind of like industrial success to deciding to like make the kind of music that I want to make and make something a little more meaningful and to try to do this gracefully and to grow into my next like phase or whatever.
Right.
Because it was all like, it gets really limiting.
Yeah.
Just doing the dance music. And then the world was like so bad. Everything was going on was like terrible. And I was in California. I'm sitting by a pool. I'm like writing dance records, you know, and it was fun. But like, that wasn't anything that people needed at the moment. Right. It wasn't something people ordered. I found myself sort of hitting a wall.
What kind of dance music?
You know, well, just like, you know, just hip hop stuff, like but just records. Fun stuff, just club records and blah, blah, blah. And it was getting me further and further away from, I think, like what I started writing, like what my first couple albums are, what my mixtapes were.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, wow, I think I have to get somewhere back to the center of gravity. And what is the true center? And what did people like sign up with me for initially? You know, and like try to get back to like the sweet spot. And so, you know. My goal right now is like indie, like you said, indie following, cult following.
Yep. I
picked up a lot of people over the years doing like the big things, doing Warped Tour and doing DJ Quick and doing all these different
things.
Well,
that's the thing about ESPN. You is because I've been to a bunch of your shows and people show up for your shows and people rock with you. So I know that's what I mean by I think the internet is bullshit because what happens in reality is vastly different than what you would judge on the internet.
And I'm still alive like that. Right. I said that to you online the other day. I was like, dude, like, I can't believe I'm still alive. That says it all. Like, so there's obviously something there that, and especially if I really am centered in on what we should be doing with the mission and with what the mantra of the whole thing is, like, there's something there that is special that works. And so shout out to the people that listen and go to the shows, because if I want to try and do something a little more meaningful, I'm gonna go for that risk right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got an impressive resume to me, too, because you've worked with DJ Quick, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big name. Who's the homie from Brockhampton that did some work with you?
So, Don McLennan is, like, one of my friends from way when he was 16 or 17, and he had a beat tape. And, yo, that's just been awesome. And I saw him two Thanksgivings ago. I see him a good time when he's around. And, like, man, that was crazy. So he's in Brockhampton now. And
He did my whole first album. Millions of dollars and plays and fans. And they got a little bit of a... Oh, shit. I can't remember
But that's what I mean about the cult thing, too, of, like, they're not on the radio. They're not going to be on Clear Channel. You know what I mean? Like, that music is, like, very, like, avant-garde and, like, pushing the envelope. And so that's a great...
I got dreams of crack rocks and strip of folds.
But shout out to Dom. Yeah, and he did... dude, I got so many stories about him. Like, I remember I literally... brought him to the first show at Sully's. Was one of his first shows, and his folks came, and he had his backpack, and he was young, and he like did his whole set.
Okay,
and they wouldn't let him stay because he's under 21.
Yeah, I remember that. I used to go through that with
dude.
Oh my god, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Jaden Castro.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And
super dope.
Yeah, yeah, and Frank too. sloth. They used to have to rock, and then they would kick him out. I haven't seen those guys in forever either. Mm-hmm.
Jaden, I know, is still reporting in. And that's the thing. I love seeing people that are still alive. Like, yeah. Those are all cats. All of us are, like, still somehow, you know, that's what I look at. There's people that might be hot for a minute, but, or have their hot single or whatever, but, and then you never hear from them again. But it's amazing to see, like, who's alive and who's still reporting in and who hasn't lost sight of the whole thing completely.
It's so weird how many MCs just fell off. And, like, it doesn't take. When I say fall off, I don't mean like, oh, their skills are bad and they're still putting out records. Like, just people who are like, fuck it, I'm going to go something
else. That's the thing. And I could never do that because I felt like the minute I always, and this has probably made me a crazy person, but I felt like the minute that I stopped, mm-hmm. people would throw a parade. The people that didn't like me, the people that were competitive about me, or the people that wanted me gone, they would throw a parade the minute I stopped. So I was like, I can't stop. Like, I have to continue to piss these people off.
Yeah, keep going.
I have to be in their way. And keep reporting it. And so that's also where I think sometimes you make music that doesn't come from the right place, like revenge or you know, maintaining some kind of like status because you want to still be this or that in the Hollywood life is not a place to make music from. Like, that's not inspiring anyone. That's not serving anyone.
Yeah, it's just funny how things go, because mm-hmm. the people that I thought were going to be huge stars, it just didn't happen for him like that. Like, I really, back when Blackistan used to come over to my mm-hmm. apartment and hang out, I used to be like, I don't know what this dude's doing with me. This guy's going to be, like, huge. I thought he was going to be, see, I thought this of Apathy, too. I thought mm-hmm. those guys were going to straight up be Jay-Z. Like, I thought those guys were at the cusp of, like, being legit. I mean, they are famous in their own right. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I thought that they were going to be on that level, like, mm-hmm. clothing brands, commercials, Super Bowl ads and shit. Like, I mm-hmm. thought that that's where they were going because that, I mean, that's what their music meant to me. And I just happened to know who Blackistan was. Mm-hmm. I met him, like, right when he got out of jail or whatever. And when you say still alive, I know what you mean, but we just happened to lose Blackistan.
Oh, Black and me were friends, so he would know what I meant. Man, God bless. But I do, like, I miss him. And last thing I saw him at was a show that Orris Jenkins was at, and I was like, dude, can I send you some music? Are you ready? He was like, yo, just send it. I'm ready to go. And then obviously I never circled back to that in time, man.
Me and him had really a falling sad. Out, man. Me really? And him had an argument on some bullshit. I don't even really understand completely what it was. Mm-hmm. I know it was a misunderstanding. And I was like, F him. And he was like, well, F you too. But we never said it.
Yeah.
So when I saw him, it was peace. But then we lost him and it was just like, wow, that coming back together apology conversation is just not going to happen.
Dude, and the rap industry, the whole rap business is such a contact sport, and it's so like...
Oh, yeah. Big time.
It's so messy, and like even when you are smart or you play it right or you stay vigilant and you try to do the next right thing, like it's a messy thing, mm-hmm. and nobody's career goes exactly like perfect, like in a straight line how they think. And,
So
there's so many times where you rub somebody the wrong way, and you're not even doing it on purpose. Maybe someone else is talking to you about something else, so you don't hear them right, da da da.
Well, people gas each other up, and then they also tear each other down too. Mm-hmm. Like, case in point, that MC who was talking sideways about you. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a bad taste in my mouth for you for like a year.
Yeah,
when you were like fresh, and then I talked to you, and you and I were like, yo, what is up with this motherfucker? Like, I remember both of us being like, what, why? And I was like, I thought you were A, B, and C. And you're like, no. And then, like, we actually kicked it, and it was fine. But
And that was a challenge I was willing to take, because I think I had my cult following of people already that maybe weren't familiar with that dude or his fake news was going to be anyway. So I felt like secure enough that I said, okay, I'm going to be that Pepsi challenge. Like, I'm fine with that. You know, like, let's do the Pepsi challenge. I'm going to play a show. Come hang out. You know, come decide if I'm all these things that I think are fake news. Like,
that's the thing about you that I've appreciated, too, from getting to know you, is it's positivity in the face of everything at all times.
Facts.
You've had situations where people have been shitty, and you've just been like, I'm not fucking going there.
And that shit hurts sometimes, but I just decide, like, yo, it's like all the years, like you said, all the years that we put in music and mm-hmm. all the shows and all the music you have out, like, that has to weigh on something, you know? Yeah. So I can't just go up and say something like super reckless all
sometimes
the time.
You just gotta let it go.
Yeah,
there's always gonna be people out there mm-hmm. who don't like other people's success.
Right.
Exactly. You know, it inspires that out of them. If you're doing, have any good thing happen to you at all in your life, even in regular life, like people are going to, you know, that's going to inspire kind of bad feelings.
For people. It's very weird. You can be excellent, on point. The first thing that comes to mind for me at, on a grand scale, and I don't know what I did to make the algorithm do this, but Eminem just got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right. Google News likes to feed me hip hop articles, and I must have clicked something somewhere because back in 2003, 2004, I thought it was the illest beef, and I kept up with it. Is that whole Benzino Eminem beef?
It's entertaining.
I have seen 100 different articles about how Benzino hates Eminem. I'm like, bro, we're getting on 20 years of this now. Benzino doesn't believe Eminem understands the culture. And it's like, who is click farming this? I'm not clicking this. Here's another article about Benzino. It's like, shut the fuck up, Benzino. Bro, you need to move on in your life. If you're still doing press runs about rap beef that's close to 20 years old, it's time to throw it out, bro. Even if it was in the freezer that long, it's bacteria ridden and it's got to hit the garbaggio.
And I'll tell you, you know, I'm going to be super honest with it because, like, especially in the pandemic, you know, I had never really done like therapy or anything like that. And then during the pandemic, I got a little e-therapist lady that's in the computer.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
And
I was debating doing that.
I did that during the pandemic. A bunch of people just were like, yo, Clock, like, you know, you don't really have to do much. You sit at home all day. Like, you know, you're not out like working right now. Why don't you just like check this out once a week? And so I was able to see like how to detangle a lot of these things. Cause you have a lot of anger, you know, all that stuff hurt me. There's people that wrote mean blogs about me that made memes about me. I mean, you know, you saw how it was. Like, there's definitely times where I have felt like, I've been excommunicated.
I've never felt that way about you, homeless,
just from different people that, you know, you think are on your side and then you find out, you know, or not and blah, blah, blah. And so like,
oh, I know what you're saying.
You know, just people that are awful to you in this competitive thing. And they just want to move you out of the way, you know, so they can like, you know, continue on or whatever.
Minimize you, put you to the side.
And so like the best thing ever was like, honestly breaking that shit down once a week with this lady and being like, oh, okay, so if I keep going through life, like everything is a gunfight, if I walk in everywhere, you know, I'm Tupac and this is the thing, then I'm never gonna be a happier person. I'm never gonna be easier to be around. I'm never gonna grow. Like, I'm never gonna be able to make a new kind of music or new art or, you know what I mean? Or like move on. I'm never gonna be able to move forward.
And gotta let it go. Just like Chimichanga said.
That's what it is. So I just think, and even guys, I think, don't ever get told to do anything about what is going on.
Oh, we're not allowed to have emotions, clockwise. You didn't know? If you got two balls and a dick, you're not allowed to be sad.
At all. And if you have a breakdown, it's like, you know, no one feels bad for you. There's no mercy. It's so rough. So, you know, I am happy that, like, I think people should always investigate that stuff because I was able to say, like, oh, okay, maybe my lens on it and reality are going to be a little bit different.
The weird thing about being a self, and I'm sorry to get like pseudo spiritual and intellectual out of nowhere, is the nature of being a self, no matter what you do, you can't escape it, for it is what you are. You have to be selfish sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when you have talent that shines, other selves compare yourself to that talent. And maybe that's where I'm a little guilty with that MC I was talking about, because I'm like, he's mediocre. He's okay. Maybe that's the way I'm taking him in. Maybe he's actually Connecticut's Tupac, and I had no fucking idea. And I'm just, because my ego is fragile
things,
in some way.
Both things can be true. And that's, you know what I mean? That's the other thing. It's like, both things can be true. You can be mediocre, but maybe to somebody it matches their
mediocre
viewpoint.
Tupac.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's like something that doesn't exist. Like a...
One Ja Rule.
Yeah, Ja Rule. Oh, man, there's so many MCs. Here's the other thing, too, is there are so many MCs that are terrible that have legitimately gotten on and gotten so big. And Pace One's going to kill me because he actually knows him. But Nelly, I've never felt Nelly.
Oh, I love that first album. I bought that at 12.
Did you have Country
Yeah. That first album was kind of baller, man.
This is the second episode of the show where I brought up how I don't like Nelly. But, I mean, hey, to each their own, you know? If you like them, enjoy. I mean, look, man, some people, I'm not really big on chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take chocolate away from you. Yeah. Enjoy your chocolate, bro.
Well, think about, though, when we were younger, like, I felt like there were, or back in the day, I'll say, I felt like there were two lanes. You could either be on major label hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
on that wave of how that calendar, or you could be on the raucous, you yeah. know, indie one. But there was really only the two trains to be on.
Pretty much.
And now, like...
Like an emo rapper or
yeah.
whatever, yeah.
Or, like, yeah, or, like, LP and the atmosphere and them eventually. But there was very few trains to, like, be on. And now with the internet, like, you can kind of just... Try anything, like
right, I which is what we should be doing as kinds.
Artists. yeah. So I think stuff gets lost. I think it's like the pipe is clogged with stuff
because yeah.
they used to decide the powers that be at the corporations used to decide what we saw all day. They yeah. decided we saw Nelly or we saw da da da. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or every year, and now it's the pipe is clogged because there's no powers that be telling us like what we're supposed to listen to.
I'm so glad I heard KRS-One in 1996
mm-hmm.
when Step Into a World came out.
Woo.
Like I got next. That really corrected a lot of the lens that I had. Yeah. You were there during that era of my life.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I've known him for like,
yeah.
Oh God. I don't even remember what year nice. I met you. Mid-90s. But yeah, I got a tape of it and it was like, what can you do without technological assistance? Remember that? And who am I? The MC. And just kind of, it really defined a lot of what this art is to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the early 2000s, you know, I was writing rhymes like when M was becoming the huge god mm-hmm. that he is now.
Right.
And being like, and then, you know, oh, you're white and he's white. So here's that comparison and all that kind of shit was going on. I completely forget what my point is with all of this, but yeah, I love.
Well, there
rap.
Used to just be the two lanes, and that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that was there was also just
oh
the
commercial
kind of,
and underground,
yeah, and that yeah. was it. And there was also just pretty much the one or two kind of white rapper lanes. I mean,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was and there was the girl rapper lanes were very limited. There was certainly no other kinds of outside.
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
very
lanes.
Weird. Like for artists, we're supposed to be these open minded. In my opinion, you're supposed to be an open minded person that's experimenting and trying new shit and figuring it out. But like, it's like the audience is like. Only certain types of people, only certain sounds and certain orders. So it's like you kind of get out there and then you're in front of a big audience for the first time. And you're, I don't know. First time I got into a room of like 400 people, mm-hmm. I was fucking scared because it's like, are people going to like me? And that's not good for growing as an artist, I don't think.
Dude, I had that. Like, I would come in, I came in at ultimate. I honestly feel like at 19 or 20, I was at peak arrogance. It came in at full confidence
oh,
on
yeah.
these big shows. And the world whittles away all that. yeah. Because now, like, I just played, right before the pandemic, I played Toad's Place. And... was just doing my show. It was shout out to Red Baron. Rest in peace. Was Red
oh,
Baron.
That's a good dude, right
and,
there. Yeah.
yeah, and it was cool. And we had a song that we did a lot together. And so we were up doing that. And we were opening for an artist like that. I think is in the exact hip hop format. Oh, and man. Like people did not want to see us. Like you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
I've never
yeah.
really had a show like that. People were not, but they didn't. We weren't on the bill. We're opening slot. Da da da.
We already and, ran like, through the store.
That's right. a rough.
Yeah,
place to be when you get one like that, and you could have 100 million good shows where you come out and you're like, yeah, you're like 50 at the end of Carriage and Die Trying, mm-hmm. and you're like, you got the world in your palm, and then there's yeah, you play a bad show and it can shake you up.
Yeah, I'll never forget Crooked Minds. I started that Aeon Audio label, mm-hmm. and it was supposed to be me, Black Philly, Joey Bats, and Crooked Minds. That's who it was like. Yeah,
cool lineup.
We're Def Jux or whatever.
Yeah, cool.
And we did a show. I had a manager in 2006 who he would, whatever show he could put me on. Yeah. It's exposure, exposure, exposure. I learned direct from him that there is such a thing as an inappropriate booking.
Yeah. Right.
I opened up for Sugar Cult. That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
That
like, never yo, you're just happened. Never gonna like the format doesn't match. You're never no. gonna win. You're not the rapper no. for the gig.
But he had Crooked Minds open up for Marquise Houston and Omarion.
Oh my God. But did it go okay? Did you
no,
get some
we got booed the fuck off stage.
it doesn't matter who you are. Like, I hope everybody enjoys that. Like, yeah. honest to God.
No, it was great. You know
when
what
we
learned?
Get booed, you get booed. We are you. We are all getting booed.
What I learned from getting booed off stage with Crooked Minds was that you gotta, if the building is burning down, you're taking every motherfucker with you. That's the point of getting booed off stage. And guess what? I got booed off stage. It wasn't that bad. No. That's the other thing I learned too, is if a crowd hates you and then you get off stage, it's over. Yep. They don't see you in the parking lot and beat you up. Yeah. They just kind of ignore you.
Yeah.
And they don't care. It's the same thing with the radio. Take a risk. Put your shit right on the radio, and if if people don't like it at the 93.7, they'll call in and be like, "I don't like it." Well, they never saw my face, so fuck them. You know what I mean? They don't know what I look like.
Dude, that shit is rough. I did one of those call-in shows for Shade 45, actually.
You were on Shade?
Yeah. When I was in LA. Dude, so they called me the night before, and they're like, "Hi, this is John from the blah, blah, show. I won't
Can I find this clip on YouTube?
I'm sure it should be in an archive. I don't know if there's a YouTube of the episode. I hope so. But
I'm going
to
just search for it.
They told me, like, the format is you have to fight with these callers. Like, when the callers call in and say they don't like your music, like, you can't just take it. You have to fight with them. So, like, that's not me. And it's like, guys, you can already tell from this interview, that's just not, I'm like, chill by the beach. Let's all get along, guys. So it was like, I have to what? And so these people would call in and I'd be like, "Nah, I don't think so." It was so awful to have to do. And I got into a tiebreaker. Some people were calling in and they were like, "Yeah, fuck with it, blah, blah." Other people were calling in like, "Booty juice." Yeah. Awful. Yo, it was scary. Those call-in shows, everybody's going to have a different opinion.
That's another MC who wants so badly to be in the seat that you're in that it doesn't matter. You could have been Hova on the mic. He's not going to accept it.
Dude, and think about things that get reevaluated. Like, I was just looking at, there's some TV show that shows the reviews from The Shining from 1980, which were bad.
Or really?
Like, yeah.
It's a fucking cinematic or masterpiece. Or,
like, things like that come out that are not appreciated in their time. You know? That's wild to me. So, stuff gets reevaluated.
I mean, everybody knew Illmatic was going to be Illmatic when it came out.
Did you see that in Ozark?
No.
They used Illmatic great in Ozark. Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
I haven't been on Netflix.
Mm.
When that cuties shit happened, I was like, "All right, I'm done with this platform for a while."
Bruce Langmore, what? banging the knots.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a whole Illmatic centered episode. Like,
really?
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was really good. Shout out to them.
Yeah, Nas is just sitting back counting his money. You know, that had to be a big money move for him.
Oh, he should send them, like, whatever, bottles of champagne, because it's the Illmatic plays are going to go up. The whole episode is really centered around her playing the album and what it is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was pretty awesome to see, though.
Yeah, I saw a post on Facebook with that, the white girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, that, and then it had, like, an Illmatic something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And I just kept
it was
scrolling.
A cool move.
The date's September 9th.
I'm not finding that Shade 45 clip.
We're going to have to find out if there's an archive, but it was very, like, it was very tough, and I did find, but yo, guys, if you find this on the internet, yo, people were rough.
Oh, I realize what you're talking about. Dude, we got a rundown of shows. Me and this cat, Thursday, Limp Bizkit.
Yep, scored some free tickets, comp from the casino, yeah.
August 20th, Method Man and Redman. We're going to go up to Massachusetts and see it.
Yep.
I think that's the date. I got to double check.
Then September 9th. Nas and Wu-Tang, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Money in the Bank.
That's gangster. Yeah, that's, you guys are going to go. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I've never seen Limp Bizkit. I'm not really that interested in... Do you?
Yeah, I think they're so... See, this is what I mean. It's like they're so underappreciated by time. They were such a huge band. They actually really were sort of like on the pulse of what a certain generation of kids like wanted in their music. And they're so like... looked at so silly by time, they like kind as of, such a joke.
They kind of tried to ride the Rage Against the Machine wave a little bit in my head. Yeah, but that's they were true. Different though too. It wasn't like people don't listen to them and they go, "Oh, they're trying to be Rage."
Right.
But
it wasn't doing that trying to be serious.
They're one of the first rap rockers.
Mm-hmm. I think Rage was first, right?
I said one of the first.
Yeah.
Well, Fred Durst is just the cult of Fred. Like, it's more about just being a baller and being cool and, like, having a cool car and stuff. But, like, yo, I'm a sucker for, like, a good front person of anything. If you
behind
come out
blue
and you
eyes.
Have charisma. And I just thought that dude, he sold it. He was in front of these big-ass dumb videos selling it.
It was so weird that there was, like, a wave of acts like that in the 90s. It was Rage Against the Machine. And then... Kid Rock, and then who else? 311 kind of went. Mm-hmm. They were like early. I don't know.
POD.
Yeah,
I mean, there POD. Was a lot of them.
Yeah.
Shout out. But yeah, I mean, that's what we, at some point, all that wave and that energy inspired a lot of us, you know, yeah. even as kids that felt like there were all these different types of like ways you could rhyme and put the music together. And yeah. I feel like it's been redistricted a little bit now. Like,
right.
Probably for the better because there's like, there's all the socio stuff to look at. But
you ever hear my song Gears? Have you ever heard
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
That song was me being like, maybe I'll go in the rap rock direction. Mm-hmm. And I'm not successful. Let me be clear. But that's the only successful thing I've done. And when I say success, I'm talking like 20,000 plays on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? But yeah, I was trying to snag that sound a little bit. I was like, mm-hmm. all right, I'm going to get away from this other comparison, and maybe they'll compare me with
and
this.
And it's coming
instead.
Back. Like, it's coming back because there's, like, the Machine Gun Kelly and all this kind of stuff, you know, going on. So if you wait long enough, all these things do come back around.
I can see Machine Gun Kelly's future so clear.
Dude, that the Ariel's one was terrible.
He's going to be divorced from Megan Fox. I guarantee you. We'll play yep. this back in 5 years.
Yep.
5 years from now, divorced from Megan Fox, some crazy like Amber Heard, Johnny Depp kind of mm-hmm. bullshit will happen. I see that coming for him because that pussy is probably like top tier. Like, that's just how it goes. Like, the better it is, the crazier it is.
Destroys your life. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
It's like doing the best cocaine for 20 years. You're eventually going to have a hole in your nose and you can put a tissue through it. You know, that's what kind of woman that is.
Yeah. No,
that's not
that's
a
true.
Centered woman. That's not a woman that is like, you know, growing house plants
yeah,
and taking care of your cat and shit. It's just a crazy, you know.
They do destroy your life, but sometimes it's worth it. For a while, it's quite worth it.
Oh, yeah. It's fine as long as you have a prenup. But at the same time, it's like both of them have more money than anything.
Yeah.
You know, why not roll the dice on a marriage if you have like $40 million in the bank, right?
You know, I was watching Transformers the other day. It was on TV and like, I don't know. She did a lot of plastic or something. I don't know.
The very first Transformers?
Yeah. I mean, just she was so dreamy. Yeah. What is she? Her face is kind of plasticky now.
Yeah, in 2007.
She probably had work done, I bet.
Yeah.
In 2007, which I remember, that's when the first live action Transformers came out with Shia LaBeouf
yeah.
and all that stuff because I was living in Brooklyn. And that's when I met Domingo. Mm-hmm. I was living out there. Yo, I got a funny story about seeing LP in the street
yeah.
and being like, that's LP. And following him down the sidewalk and him turning around and looking and then like walking faster and being like, oh, I scared him. Because I lived in Carroll Gardens, and he lived somewhere around yeah. there. But anyway, 2000.
Did you ever see Cage?
I've met him face to face.
Oh, man, what's he like? I love Cage's music.
Well, I didn't get to know him, met him. I met him like, mm-hmm. yo, what up, Cage? Like, blah, like, talk to him for a minute. But yeah,
those were good times, man. LP and Cage and them.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Dude, Cage has completely disappeared, though, mm-hmm. basically. He just, yeah. I mean, he's still a weirdo. Well, I mean, I'd have to check. He had a Patreon, and he does a podcast where he talks to people, and he still does, like, acid rap.
Yeah.
He's got a weird trajectory, and I don't know. And I was a big fan of the guy, so I feel like I can say this, and it's not a diss if he ever happens to hear it, but, like, the thing with Cage is, I mean, he said it, he's bipolar.
Yeah.
Bipolar people, they have a lot of changes that they go through because the bipolar, it doesn't just stop at manic behavior. There's personality things that go with it too. Like,
yep.
oh, I'm going to suddenly change my style.
Yep,
like I used to dress like this. Now I dress like this.
Yeah. Like, he did that.
And that was him. But like people on the internet were like being like, oh, what is he's being fake? I'm like, I don't think he's being fake. I think it's part of like his personality where like every 5 years he like reinvents himself or does something.
I liked some of the later music too. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I
some
liked
of the really indie wild weird stuff.
I like
cool.
Hell's Winter.
Loves Hell's Winter.
But after that, it's a big drop off for me. Because he really went out there with like the
teenage hands. He's got a bunch of weird songs like that are afterwards that are kind of strange. Like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was working with Sean Martin. He recorded all that around the way. Up
in Middletown or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, he, you know, he's doing his thing. I think it might have actually been in Waterbury because Sean Martin and all those guys.
Yep.
Yeah, they were up
there. I remember
there.
Hearing about it. Yeah. It's a lot of hip hop around here, actually, that goes on.
Yeah, yeah. We're in the shadow in New York. We're between Boston and New York, so it's just kind of people land here. But shit, what was I saying? 2007 live action. I remember seeing her in that movie, and I thought she was the hottest woman alive.
Isn't it funny how that goes?
Well, she wasn't a star yet. Mm-hmm. I think Transformers is what broke her, right? Yeah. I mean, she probably had smaller roles and shit, so people, it was like bubbling or whatever. Right, right. But yeah, she became a star from that. But yeah, the plastic surgery and shit, that's got to be...
And MGK also vacated rap so fast, too.
Yeah, M fucking snapped his neck.
Yeah.
That's a death.
Yeah, I have to say, I thought MGK's first diss was very valiant. It was very valiant. It was not a bad effort.
It's a nice try.
Yeah.
He punched M in the face.
He got closer, yeah, than a lot of people.
But it's like, if I were to punch Tyson in the face, there'd be that moment of, ooh, Brash just punched Tyson in the face.
And now I'm dead.
Now he's going to die. Like, everybody was like, he's going to die. That's what's going to happen next. And if you actually listen to Eminem's diss back to MGK... Mm-hmm. M did not spend more than like probably 2 hours between crafting and spitting that. And he just roasted, dude.
Man.
I don't know, man. Why would you do that?
Yep.
M has put in his 10,000 hours into just writing raps.
And people try to take that from him on the internet now, too. Like, that's what I mean. Is like you said, the internet is such a weird, skewed, not centered opinion of anything. Like, mm-hmm. people try to take everything away from Eminem now on the internet.
Yeah. Well, M's real.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to Pace. Pace knew him mm-hmm. before the whole blow up. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have some sort of insight in Eminem's life.
Yeah.
And that dude, he was like, yeah, you know, we would be done. And M would be like, no, we're not done. I'm going to do, 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 do. It's like... It was nonstop. Like, Pace is like, no, man, we just did our shit. Let's go to the drink, do something else. He's like, I can drink and do that at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't stop. So I don't have that kind of drive. I love this shit more than, like, you know, my kids first than this. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I love this shit a lot, but I don't have that kind of drive where I'm just, like, constantly only doing hip-hop. I wish I could live that life.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't. I don't know. It's like resistance.
Well, it's a lot of sacrifices, too. It's a lot of sacrifices to really... Because if you're going to play at that high level, and then you have to do everything that is going on in that landscape, right? And so right now, does that mean you have to do a TikTok? Like, I'm not going to do a TikTok. Like, I think about this. I go, all right, so what are the holes in my game? I think I play a pretty good game. What are the holes in it? And it's like, I don't know. I look really good for my age, folks, but, you know, I'm not... 18, and I don't know how to do a TikTok. Like, I don't think I want to start.
Yeah, I don't want to start that shit. I don't care if it makes a career for me. It's funny because, well, that's what I say now until I actually do a TikTok and then it's successful. It's like, hey, everybody, I'm over here. You know,
or what else? You know, do you have to do a sex tape? It's like, what is the landscape that you would have to play in at the super high level?
I wonder if Eminem would make it now. Like, if he was born in like 1996. And was trying to make a rap career on the same timeline that we were. I wonder how it would have worked out for him.
I don't. And that stuff really is shocking to listen to when you go back for fun and you listen to Marshall Mathers LP or something. Like, it really is shocking compared to how woke and scared or safe. I won't say scared, but I'll say safe that people have to be now. Like, wow. It is kind of shocking. Like, I don't know how far he would have made it. It's awesome. I mean, it's interesting writing, but.
Yeah, you think it would have been immediately canceled?
Yeah, I do.
They tried to cancel his ass like 2 years ago, and he just made a song like, no. It was like the funniest fucking thing. Oh, God, what is it?
There's a
novelty. I won't stop until I'm old and gray. Like that song. I'm tone deaf. That's what it's called, tone deaf. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a novelty to that stuff when you really go back and listen to it. Like, wow, like that. Well, that landscape is what? You shot 3 videos. You went on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your album was pressed. They shipped 10,000 copies to Strawberries or something, right? I mean, that was the, like... Yeah. So the trajectory now is like, yeah, you have to do all these other things to, like, fill the holes.
Yeah. Well, things... Pace said this to me. He's like, the playing field has been leveled. That's why it's confusing. Mm-hmm. It's everybody. If your grandma wants to start a rap career, she can have an album on Spotify as fast as she can record it. Yep. You know, the entry bar is way lower as far as like getting your shit to where people are able to hear it. Now making them want to hear it, that's a whole different thing. And the music buying public nowadays, I don't understand the people in this climate. I really don't get it because, like, Young Thug is not trash to me. He's not trash.
Okay.
Not the best rapper, though.
Yeah.
However, like, rapper, like, I think Token is a better rapper than Young Thug.
Like, the Token stuff's not my style. Give me a headache.
I battled in front of him and I met him and he was cool to me. So I kind of have this like, all right, I impressed him a little bit and I feel like maybe down the line, if I cross paths with him, he might remember me because I battled in front of him. I made an impression because I won the battle too. But the thing with Token is he's very and to me, like that kind of flow, if you can pull it off. I like technical flow. Like, that's what makes my ear tingle, is like when somebody can do those flows. Young Thug doesn't do any of that. It's very, like, he's more melodic.
Everyone's singing now, and they're so tuned that their voices are really thin on a lot of these records. I was a personality guy. I missed, like, loved, you know, Beanie Siegel, DMX.
Oh, Beans? I loved
where
Beans.
People felt like they just opened the door and the smoke came out. And now they stumbled in here and they're talking to you. Like, I liked that. Or, you know, Old Dirty Bastard, just stuff like that where people came in with the big, deep voice.
I have to say that I love a thugged out rapper, though.
Yeah.
Like a legit 90s thugged out, like Chic Looch.
Oh, my God. I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Yayo, even.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Tony Yayo has a song. I don't remember his song. The other day, I'm driving around. He goes, "What rapper want it? My house is haunted."
Yeah.
That's dope. Tell me that's not a dope. It's stuck in my head. I'll go, man, that's fucking fire.
Did you ever meet 50?
No, I've worked a lot with the, down there with Hov and the A&Rs.
You know them though, right?
Yeah, when Fifth lived in Connecticut, if you were like doing well in music, you would get the, you know.
He would look at you.
Yeah.
He looked at me, and when I was doing CTHipHop.net, his team reached out in an email, and they were like, come to this liquor store. He's doing this thing, and then do you remember Cryptic?
Yeah.
Cryptic met him that day at that liquor store, and they wanted me to go down there and write like a, you know, some sort of like fluff piece. Like, I got to meet 50 and touch his hand and stuff, but like, you know, my wife was having babies and stuff. So I met him face to face one time real quick.
Nice.
And that guy is intimidating as hell.
Oh, I bet.
He is like when he did the Super Bowl and everybody was like, 50's fat now and being an ass. I'm like, dude, if he punched you in the head, your head might be decapitated. Yep. Like, I'm looking at these big bicep. Like, I remember just looking at him like, this is not just a guy who got shot 9 times and lived. This is a human being that could legitimately beat the shit out of me if he wanted. Like, I felt like he could reach up, grab my head, pick me up, and go like that, and then walk where I was standing. Very large person.
Man.
Actually, he wasn't taller than me, but he was like just like a big dude. You know what I mean? Like just, I don't know.
Nip was a pretty big guy.
You met him?
Like, I got to meet him like twice or three times. And I wish somebody, I was with a bunch of people that can verify for me, but I wish someone took a picture because now I'd feel like I'd love to have it on a wall or something. But
I've always, anytime I've ever met anybody famous, I've never, except for Master Ace.
You don't want to bother though, because if they're being nice and they see you as like a friend and like a peer and they're making friends with you, and stuff. Yeah,
well, 50 did not look at me like that at all.
Well, not 50.
Yeah. But, every time I've ever met anybody famous, I've always been like, this is for me in my head because, like, as soon as the camera comes out, if there's other people around, it's like, oh, it's picture time. Like, everybody wants to hop on that bandwagon and it'll fuck them up.
It's tough. So,
I was just thinking about it. I have met enough famous people. Like, I played, touch football with J5.
Yeah.
You know, in front of the Webster.
I love Charlie. I love them dudes. Yeah.
You actually know them?
No, just them? Like their music. Oh, I never met them. God bless.
Yeah, Charlie Tuna is a large person to play, like, touch football with. It was nuts, man. I've got some cool stories from doing shows at the Webster. Mm-hmm. Like, I smoked weed with Afro Man.
Nice. That's legendary.
That's where the story ends because I just smoked. That was it. That's all that happened. There's no story. Nothing funny happened. No, you know, he didn't even say anything. He was just standing there in a suit.
That's such a life lived, though, dog. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Still got to live it, though.
It's a milestone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How many people can say they smoked Zephyr, man?
Mm. And that's like what you would want to do with effort, man. It's like not you know, like fishing with effort. Man. Like what you're supposed to do with effort, man.
Yeah. What else, man? What other cool things?
But yeah, Leo, you know, rap is wild sport like that. Sometimes you walk in and you just be places and stuff goes on like that.
Yeah. Lauryn Hill was at Sully's once too. Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Really? I, for some reason, wasn't there. I wish I was there that night. And then I saw the pictures all on the feed the next day.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, that bugged me out. I, like, couldn't believe that that happened. That was wild. That was during that whole, like, tax evasion shit, too. I asked, because Pace knows all them. He knows Wyclef and Lauryn Hill and Redman.
Yeah, he's good on that album. He's awesome on Cowboys.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's dope.
Pace Swan dies with his eyes on the jackpot.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite lines on that whole thing, actually.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, but it's weird to hear, like, the insider scoop on some of this stuff. Because, like, Pace is somebody, like, you know, all of his fame and, like, how the fact that he's got whatever money and, like, everybody on the planet knows who he is in some capacity. Like, fuck all that. When I was getting divorced... And, like, I caught my ex-wife doing, like, grimy shit behind my back, and she was pulling the, like, so what you know now? And just being toxic and shitty. This dude let me stay at his house for a week.
That's awesome.
So
that's solid.
That's a real friend. You know what I mean? That's not just on some, like, oh, I know you and we both do music, and, like, I pay you money to come out sometimes, and, you know, I bother you for verses and shit. Like, it's that guy is, like, I straight up... have so much love for that dude. Always will. Always have my back. We're getting close to this wrapping up. I want to play you actually some shit that I'm working on with him.
Yeah, man.
But I
got a joint that I just actually finished with him.
Oh, I thought you were gonna. I thought you were gonna light one up.
Oh no. I just moved my stuff. But yeah, no. Yeah, I have a. I did a joint with him a few years ago, and then Miles Elliott, who's dope, is doing a remix right now. We're doing some new stuff with it. And so, like,
Miles Elliott, why do I know that name?
He's good. Check him out. Yeah, he's in the
Connecticut guy?
Connecticut area, yeah. Right. And, Pace is just, he is everything that, like, that you sort of want the famous guy to be when you meet them. Like, a lot of times you meet them and they're not fun or they're this or that, but Pace is sort of all the things that you would want.
I've been absolutely awesome. Fortunate as far as meeting famous MCs. Like, knowing Master Ace... Like, you know, not on a personal level, like I know Pace One, but like Ace, coolest guy to me on the planet.
Yeah.
Just to have your paper straight and be mad respectful because that guy earned his stripes. I mean, that guy was in the 80s rocking it. He built the house we all walk in, bro. Master Ace is a big deal to me. And then, Pace One, those are the two famous MCs that I could like, they're in my phone. I could call them right now and they're cool as fuck.
Yeah.
I never call Master Ace because.
Yeah.
That's Mass A. Leave him alone. I respect him enough to leave him alone. Pace One, I called yesterday. Sometimes I get the vibe that I'm annoying him, though. I'm like, come on, man. Let's get this music thing going. Man, I'm just trying to do something else right now. You know what I mean? Like, I call him at inopportune times and shit. But, I've been fortunate because those two are cool. But, like, I always go by the Sean Price rule, and I don't know if you've ever seen that YouTube interview, but he's just like, you don't want to meet your favorite rapper.
Right.
Because he's going to be an asshole, you know? I had an opportunity to work with Chino XL. And
what was he like?
Well, I didn't meet him or talk to him because I've heard through the grapevine through too many people.
Yeah.
Negative things. Like, as soon as I hear too many negative things, because, like, look, man, Chino XL is a god-tier MC. He was doing the Sway and Tech shit. Yep. He was fucking on MTV in the 90s. So I have respect for what he did. However, I understand that there's a big separation between the artist and the art, and everybody who I know who has worked with him, like stories of the guy like showing up like, you know, at the club at you know, half an hour before they close and he's supposed to do an hour and he's just like, I want half the money now, you know, like whether or not any of that shit's true, I don't know. I could be judging a book by somebody else's bullshit. I mean, hey, to the beginning of the conversation, how I was introduced to you was on some kind of bullshit tier thing.
That's such
a
good full circle thing. Yeah. And it is. And it is tough because, like, I know I, like, what was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to, like, you know, work around that?
What's the secret, like, handbook so that I don't step on whoever's toe to make them think that this is an appropriate way to conduct themselves around tough, my reputation, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, and when people feel threatened and they try to build that wall. But that's why it's amazing that we're here. That's why it's amazing that, like, you know, I feel very fortunate that people decided to think for themselves. I do think sometimes if you tell people, like, don't listen to this album or, like, don't check out this movie, like, they're gonna check it out, right? Yeah. So it's a tough thing, man.
No spoilers. I just saw Doctor Strange, but the internet made it sound like it was the biggest piece of shit. I was like, the internet is...
Can't always trust critics.
No, you can't. Somebody gave it a B+. That was an A-, a solid A- movie to me. Maybe even an A.
Like, after the Endgame saga ended or whatever, I'm having a hard time figuring out...
Getting back into the MCU.
Well, I like the shows, though. I'm watching all the shows. Moon Knight's a little slow. Yeah. You guys watching it?
I have
Wanda
watched
was
it. I think it was only 6 episodes. I think the season's done.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
What's the whole thing with him? He's like schizophrenic or some shit?
No, he's like possessed by the Egyptian god of the moon.
Oh.
It's sort of kind of got like a Venom vibe to it.
Oh. Reminded me of Venom, yeah. Right? Peacemaker was amazing,
Peacemaker
was hilarious.
Peacemaker was fire.
Was mad fire. You know, the
I didn't like Batman either. Did you guys like Batman?
I watched it with him over here on that TV right there. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, I don't fucking know, man. Like, I didn't hate it. That's the thing. I didn't hate it. I just wanted to love it, and I didn't love it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I just, every shot with that, like, emo boy just... like that face of Batman. Like, it just...
Actually, do you have any shows to plug? Show me.
I'm having so much fun talking about life with you guys. This is nice because we're talking about life. And honestly,
a couple more minutes.
It's good talking about
an hour exactly.
But that's what the music's about too. So everyone, check out the new music. I'm doing some like really meaningful, heartfelt, soulful music. So, you know, I think it's very thoughtful. I would like to hear from you guys. I'm at Clockwise, KLOKWIZE on everything.
You want to end with this song?
Yeah. And so if you're in Connecticut, I'm going to be 521. I'm going to be at Hog River Brewing. And then I'll be at the Heartbeat Fest September 9th with all the boys doing the Bat Pack fun kind of group jams. And then I'll also be at the South Marshall Block Party at the end of August in Hartford. So, drop me a line at Clockwise, KLOKWIZE. And... it's fun talking about the nitty gritty a little bit. Talk about not standard stuff.
I'm going to keep doing this show until I'm Connecticut's hip hop's Howard Stern.
I hope we got to it like in a good way.
Yeah,
for
we
people.
Did. We were kind of all over the place too, but that's what I like to listen to because it's a real conversation. So what I'm going to play right now, and I'm actually going to leave the mics on while this video plays. You can see where you're at, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. So we're just going to let this run through. Any kind of commentary or feedback you want to give.
So When Will I is I'm really writing beautiful stuff that is meaningful to me right now. I'm taking risks.
I missed the production credit.
I actually produced this, so that's one thing I've been doing is producing a lot of these records now.
Oh,
with Lawrence V. White plays bass and he produced it. I wonder when and I'm singing, and it's just meaningful music.
Is that your dog?
I borrowed that dog. Shout out to Carissa. I borrowed the dog from...
The link to the YouTube video will be in the description of the show.
There's enough bullshit out there, so this is some music that people should really, like, be able to feel. I wonder when will I... It's real. I wonder when will I... I see the people start to live and I beat themselves
up inside. I wonder when will I. Who shot this?
Rick D. Michelle's New Haven is amazing. So he shot it. We were out in Meredith.
I know where that is actually. I walk with my kids around there.
Yeah,
it's a good spot. I wonder when
will I. What was the dog's name?
The dog is named Colby. Pass you when it flies right. There's never time to cry. And shout out, Angela Luna sings on the hook as well, and she's amazing.
Who's that other girl that you were working with a few years ago?
So I have Angela. I work with Alyssa V, who's also
Alyssa V.
She's amazing. And then I work with Isan as well. I like to do everything I can with all the different awesome ladies of Connecticut. Find your heart when it was overdue. I wonder when will you. I wonder when will you.
So what do you have, like an NPC or use machine gun?
So this was actually I took some drums from Splice.
Splice is good shit, man. I
definitely like I reprogrammed them and resequenced them and put a kick in, but it was that. It was a piano, just a little piano line, and then the bass, and then I had a guitar player come in. But as far as me being able to start the songs, I can just drop samples in, I can sing on top, put the ideas on.
You guys didn't go all the way up to the castle at the top of that road?
Dude, I tried to go to the water. There's a waterfall over here, too. I was trying to get to the waterfall. It was dicey.
It looks like you guys didn't have the best weather for this either. It looks like it's about to, the skies are going to open up or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I liked how it came out moody. It definitely came out very moody, which is my vibe right now. There's all these indie playlists for this kind of music.
Yeah,
it's like lo-fi indie music. I wonder when will I.
Like an R&B chick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Angela's dope, and I'm on her album as well. Her album has Doug Wimbish, actually. Yeah, so check it out. It's called Champagne Apocalypse, Angela Luna.
I've actually seen that posted somewhere. Maybe you posted it, I don't know. But.
Yeah, it's dope. And that's Lawrence. Yeah, Lawrence White on bass is amazing.
I'm hearing regular guitar, too.
Yeah, so shout out to Trent Hayes. That was all just done on a layer. Like, he emailed me a layer.
Oh, okay.
And so I've always included sort of as many live layers and live instruments as I could to kind of keep it organic. Organic is a good word for the vibe.
And the dog gave you paw like at the end.
Oh, thanks, man.
Word.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Well, this is the Brass Show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Accidentally cut off the ending. I like to sandwich it. So I take the beginning pot and then the end pot, and then the show's in the middle. Yeah, it's the Brass Show. Clockwise, thank you for coming out, man. We gotta do
much
this.
Love.
We gotta do this. I'm trying. We're doing one a week right now. Mm-hmm. We're eventually gonna do two a week and then put the second episode behind a paywall once people start actually paying attention. But this is the Brass Show. Chimmy, thank you for coming all the way out.
Of course.
We're gonna go to Vegas, bro. That's going to be the Brass Show Spectacular is when we
episode from Vegas.
Have a, like five episodes from Vegas, because